This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Don't you go fooling around with that little girl. She's just a big-time flirt. That's Del Shannon. You guys remember that? If you do, you're old enough to be on Social Security, right? Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us on this Friday. Holy Toledo, February 21st already. It's flying by. We will be talking in a couple of minutes with Patrick Hedger of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about all of you people that use Facebook. You familiar with this deal they got going now? They're going to have their own currency, cryptocurrency. And here's the question. Is it something, you know, it's in the free market. Is it something that should be regulated heavily? Should it be allowed at all? Well, we're going to talk with Patrick Hedger about it, and we'll see what he thinks. And Trump buddy Roger Stone is sentenced to over 3 years in prison. So the question is, did he deserve it? And will he be pardoned by Trump? We will ask the proprietor of America's most important polling service, the Barber Poll, Andrew Sorese, the master barber. Get his take on the whole thing. And remember John Bolton? Remember John Bolton, Secretary of Defense, let go by Trump? He says that any last-minute impeachment testimony he would have given would have made no difference. None. We'll talk about what he had to say. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one. The top 10 richest songwriters of all time. All time. Who do you think they are? By the way, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It is the best place to go, you guys, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay, that's for sure. It's in Dunedin. It's on State Road 580, just north. I'm sorry, it's on Overcast Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's in its own little plaza there, the Overcast Plaza. You cannot miss it. It's got a big red light, green light, yellow light, right in the window. So when you go there, if it's green, it means come on in. We have little traffic. If it's yellow, well, moderately busy. If it's red, well, we're busy, but come on in anyway. You can listen to all of the talk. Andrew's Master Barbershop. Also, want to remind you, we are on here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tan Talk Radio Network. And go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. You'll find out who our guests, our upcoming guests, will be on the show. And Big Ed sets up all of our shows on podcasts. You can listen to us anytime, OurFreedomWorks.com. Okay, well, Donald Trump and his minions, as per usual, dominating the news. And now the question is whether or not Russia is getting into the game again. Intelligence officials, according to the New York Times, are warning lawmakers that Russia was interfering in the 2020 campaign in favor of Donald Trump. So I ask you this. Why would the Russians be in favor of Donald Trump? What earthly reason would they have? What earthly reason would they, why wouldn't they be in favor of Bernie Sanders instead of Donald Trump? Am I wrong? Doesn't Bernie Sanders represent their philosophy of life more than Donald Trump? I think so. So I'm wondering about all of the play that this whole story is getting. You know, Trump's had a pretty good couple of weeks, now that you think about it, right? The Democratic presidential candidates are stabbing each other in the back on live TV. Are they not? Trump's approval rating is at the highest it's ever been. It's higher than Obama's approval rating was at the same time in his career. So Trump's doing pretty well, as are Americans. If you look at their wallets and the stock market, the stock market's hitting all-time highs. Unemployment rate hitting all-time lows. You can't get any better. What are you waiting for when are you waiting for something that's going to do better than that? What is it exactly the people that complain about Donald Trump are really thinking, other than, I don't like the way he acts? That's it. They don't like the way he acts. So they're guided by their feelings on his temperament rather than on the philosophy of government that seems to be running very successfully under his tutelage. So anyway, this is a story from MSN News, Microsoft News, which connects to MSNBC, of course, Microsoft being the MS in MSNBC. And it talks about this Times article, and it says that Donald Trump is upset that this information is getting out. And yet, you know, Donald Trump is not doing favors with Russia. I don't know what they think. But Donald Trump is very much reinforcing our missile defenses in Europe. He certainly doesn't seem to be doing anything. I mean, what has he done to make Russia a better place other than shake Putin's hand, you know? So during a briefing of the House Intelligence Committee yesterday, Trump's allies challenged the ideas and conclusions that Russia was interfering, arguing that Trump has been tough on Russia and has strengthened European security. But this story is making the rounds right now, and it's very, very interesting. I think it's perpetuated. I was watching a little bit of both CNN and MSNBC. MSNBC was making a big deal out of it. Big deal. Now, they're trying to connect the dots, right? They don't want to let go of the rope that's pulling away from them on the idea that Donald Trump and Russia colluded to win the election. No matter what, no matter that the Mueller investigation said he did not, no matter that there's no inkling of connection. And by the way, we're going to talk about Roger Stone in that whole mess right after we have our interview. But it does seem like there is a little bit of a conspiracy in the media to keep saying bad things about Donald Trump and his intentions. And I think most people see through it now.
You think?
I think so. I think so big time.
CNN couldn't connect the dots if you drew them a diagram.
What are they? And by the way, their viewership has sunk under the sea. Have you seen that? Have you seen the recent one numbers for CNN?
They pretty much hit rock bottom and then they dug a hole.
CNN, and during the debate, which MSNBC and NBC carried, this one that was held for the Democrats in Las Vegas, apparently CNN went down even further. Fox News is dominating and has got like five times the audience now of CNN. Five times.
I thought the debate was very entertaining. I actually watched it. From start to finish. I know it's a shock. I've never watched it before.
Did you watch the whole thing?
I couldn't turn it off.
I know. It was great theater.
It was gross.
It was better than a movie.
It was better than any show that was on. When Bloomberg really got shot down.
From the start.
I'd have just folded my tent, cut my losses, and left the stage.
I think I would have said, bye for now. I think I'll save a lot of money by leaving right now.
I'm good.
You know, he looks shorter than 5'8". I mean, not that I would want to get on that thing, but
I don't think he was. He didn't look like he was that way, unless he was standing on something. I don't know.
No, he wasn't.
Well, they put him next to Warren.
She's taller.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Everyone's taller. Amy Klobuchar's a bit taller, too. Yeah. I mean, you know, after you hear the mini Mike deal go on and on, then you are going to kind of look. And he is short.
Klobuchar, what was with her? She looked like she was standing on an earthquake fault line, the way she was shaking all the time. You see the way she was shaking?
Yeah, she does shake a little bit when she talks, doesn't she? Well, so does Bernie. Of course,
Bernie's got that mad scientist look, you know, with the arms in the air. Always one finger's pointing.
He does. He should have one of those white smocks on, you know, and wander around the stage in a white smock, unbuttoned. That would fit him perfectly. Okay, anyway, hey, you know, enough insults. It's time to sound like Donald Trump. We're going to take our break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Facebook, a cryptocurrency they have, and their regulation concerns.
Everybody's doing a brand new dance now. Come on, baby, do the locomotion.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Friday. It's kind of cold out there today. It's in the 50s. I don't mind it. Coming from Chicago, it's actually doggone warm.
Of course, it was 80 yesterday.
I know. So we have like a 30-point drop, don't we?
And it was 25, actually.
Yeah, there you go.
It's 55 right now.
Don't be too exacting with me. 25, 30. Anyway, it's cooler. You know, gets you going. I take a little walk before I come to the state. I really do, a little hiking. And it's invigorating out there right now. And we're going to talk with a guy, Patrick Hedger. Patrick, I don't know what the weather is like in your neck of the woods. Are you up in Washington right now?
I was about to say, you guys are absolutely killing me with that weather talk. I grew up in Pinellas County.
You did?
I was born in at a Morton Plant Hospital in Clearwater.
Walk to it.
Yeah, that's right. But now I'm living in Washington D.C. and it's definitely a lot colder. So I would trade 50 for what we've got here now. I think it's in the 30s.
Do you have any snow?
No snow. No.
Okay.
The snow was all south of us, North Carolina.
Yeah. Well, Patrick is a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're not here to talk weather with him. We're here to talk about something I find very, very interesting, Patrick, and that is these cryptocurrency things that are going on. Now, we've got Facebook involved in cryptocurrency. And, you know, the first thing that comes to mind about all of that, cryptocurrency, by the way, is a way of spending, I guess you could call it, it's money, you know, in a certain environment. And Facebook announced back in about half a year ago or so that Facebook was starting up a cryptocurrency called Libra. Libra, L-I-B-R-A. And it would be used as the basis for a payment network worldwide where people could convert their money into Libra and send it around or use it to pay for things. Now, you know, the first thing that comes to mind, Patrick, is that One of the things that the federal government is supposed to do, and they really aren't supposed to do much if you look at the Constitution, but one of them is to coin money. So does this sort of fly in the face of the coinage of money when you have cryptocurrencies?
Well, I mean, the federal government has the power to coin money, but that doesn't mean that people have to accept that as the only form of payment, right? They have the power to do it, but money is really just anything historically that people can use to, avoid, if there's an issue of, you want to engage in trade and I have something that you want, but you don't have something that I want. It's a way to store value and facilitate exchanges when you have that sort of misalignment of wants. And it's just a way for people to store value and facilitate trade. And so to the extent that, you're trading a foreign currency or a cryptocurrency, really anything that facilitates that trade is fine. So it's not necessarily competing with the dollar. It's just a way to store value that can also hedge against because it's based on a number of different currencies, right? And you can also make exchanges in precious metals and things like that.
Yeah.
It's just a way to hedge against, government policies, because governments, although they coin money, they can also notoriously undervalue the currency as well.
Sure. And I think that's a great answer. You would have passed my test. Bartering, where people say, look, rather than me giving you any money, you got something I need. Can I have that and I'll do this, right? That's bartering. That's perfectly
right.
Fine. That's perfectly fine. So cryptocurrency, the idea is perfectly fine. If people agree, to exchange it, why not? So that now brings us to the regulation, Patrick, of this cryptocurrency. And we're looking at here at an article, I guess, that was written back about 5-6 months ago, where they say that one regulator of this whole cryptocurrency will likely be the Federal Reserve. Could you tell us a little bit about all this regulation concern? And I would suspect the government wants to get its hands into the whole concept to some extent, right?
Right, exactly. There's some, unfortunately, not entirely benevolent motivations here. The reason the Federal Reserve is looking into this is because there have long been plans for the Federal Reserve to create its own cryptocurrency. I believe it's called FedCoin. And so the one thing the federal government hates the most is competition. We're concerned that, in any sort of technology, whether we're talking about a cryptocurrency or social media or even automobiles, any kind of technology you can think of, overly prescriptive, preemptive regulation often has really unintended consequences, where you think that you are trying to regulate to stop all potential bad harms. You end up throwing out the good with the bad. And for most technological advances, you get a lot more good than bad. There's no perfect technology, whether we're talking about cryptocurrency or the automobile, right? They all have their downsides. But we have to look at the net value that these new technological advances create and make sure we don't have a regulatory structure in place that prevents. So if people don't like Facebook, for example, they don't trust Facebook or they don't trust Libra, their cryptocurrency, we don't want to put a regulatory structure in place because people don't like Facebook that prevents another company that maybe they do like from getting involved in the cryptocurrency space. Because you can't just create a regulation that only applies to one particular company. So again, it's about making sure we don't stifle innovation across the sector. And the nice thing about these cryptocurrencies is that they're totally voluntary. If people don't trust them and they don't like them, they won't use them. There's no need to regulate them to stop that.
We're talking with Patrick Hedger. He is a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're talking about Facebook's new cryptocurrency, a way of bartering online involving Facebook. Patrick, one of the things, of course, I would suspect that government regulators would say is, well, yeah, but we got to protect these consumers because what if somebody starts trying to take advantage and abuse them and, not fulfill the promises? Where do they go? Where do they go to get, relief? What would you say?
Well, I would say that we have to make sure we don't compare imperfect markets against the perfect government. We tend to do that too much. It's called the Nirvana fallacy. And the reality is that with every market innovation and every and new market entrant or business, there may be a downside, but there's a downside to government regulation as well. So it's trying to balance the trade-offs and see how we can get the greatest value generation, the greatest net positive. And on the specific issue of cryptocurrency and something like Libra, we have a lot of financial regulation in place right now. And it's really heavily concentrated the financial sector, and it's left a lot of people in this country underbanked, right? They have a hard time actually accessing banking services because there's just not a lot of competition in the space. This is particularly true around the world. But the advent of the internet and cryptocurrency makes it easy for people to immediately exchange value, right, and provide investment and banking services over the web for people perhaps in sub-Saharan Africa that may not have access to a local bank branch, but if they have an internet connection, they are able to exchange Libra or any other cryptocurrency, and that also has a stable value. Right, you don't have the fluctuations in the currency market. So there is a huge potential benefit to help people that are currently being underserved, in part, particularly in this country, because we have overly prescriptive regulations to try and protect consumers that ends up leaving them without the credit needs and the banking needs that they need.
Right. Do you have any fix on how Libra is doing? Is it working right now?
It's still, when they announced it, I believe they were over a year out from actually launching the system. It was still in the conceptual phase. But I think it's a great proof of concept model. I think you will start to see competing services, because ultimately all it is about is making sure that you can instantly transfer something to someone that is, it can be redeemed for goods or services without having to go through a banking system where if you transfer money anywhere in the world, it can take, there's a lead time there. It can take a lot of time. And then there's a lot of uncertainty because if you're exchanging currency from American dollars to another nation's currency, because of most currencies are fiat currencies now and not tied to anything, the value can spike or drop.
Right.
And the nice thing about these cryptocurrencies is that they're usually, they can either be highly speculative, or they can be more of a stable coin, which is what Libra is trying to do.
I see.
It bases itself on a bunch of different commodities, currencies.
We're talking with Patrick Hedger of the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute about this cryptocurrency called Libra. Patrick, Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, has been, let's face it, he's gotten some bad press, right? And he's gotten some good press, but he's gotten press. And he's appeared before some committees and the like. I guess he's not really big on that kind of exposure. But I guess there's a question, about the whole Facebook or, what is going on, perception being 9/10 of the law. I guess people might be a little reluctant to take part in a currency involving Facebook. What do you think?
Yeah, and that's their right. I think that we just want to make sure that we're not creating regulations based on those perceptions. I mean, if you don't like Facebook or you don't like any other particular company or product, vote with your pocketbook, vote with your feet. Don't vote for people that are going to go in and put in place regulations that may stop a future company from coming up and competing with Facebook.
Right.
That's what we try to prevent. Right. The best thing that we can do to keep these companies in check, keep bad behavior in check, is not to write overly prescriptive regulations that they can pay off lots of lobbyists to come in and get around or take advantage of. The best thing we can do is have a competitive market where if a company is behaving badly, somebody can enter the market and kick their butt.
Well, I tell you what, Patrick, a very interesting discussion. Really appreciate your coming on, talking to us about cryptocurrency, and I look forward to talking with you again down the road.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, sir. Patrick.
All right, have a good one.
Yeah, you too, Patrick. Patrick Hedger. All right, we're going to take our break when we come back. When we come back, if he remembers correctly, we're going to talk with Andrew the Master Barber, and we're going to talk about Trump buddy Roger Stone, his 3 years plus in prison. Is that a fair deal? We'll find out from the barber pole.
She was tired, cause her mind was breaking. I said, get some sleep and dream of rock and roll. Cause like a picture she was laying there, moonlight dancing off her hair.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tan Talk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars, old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
From a distance, you can see lightning without hearing thunder. But that doesn't mean it's not there. Because with lightning, always comes thunder.
Let's go lightning!
And the closer you get,
Alex Killorn is in! He scores!
The more you feel its awesome power. Be the Thunder February 25th. Lightning versus Maple Leafs, 7 p.m. Tickets at TampaBayLightning.com.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a coolish day in Tampa Bay, and we're delighted to have back the proprietor of the only poll that makes sense, if you think about it, for mainstream America, the barber poll, Andrew Ceresi. And Andrew, so much going on. You know, we had the debate of those Democrats in Las Vegas, and we had Trump. He's done a couple of rallies in the meantime, and then we've got Roger Stone. He's going to be supposedly in the slammer for 40 months. The judge claims that that sentencing originally requested by the prosecution of 7 to 9 years was excessive. So she's basically, with her 40-month sentence, believe it or not, backing up Attorney General William Barr when he suggested that no more than 3 to 5 years. What is your thought on the Roger Stone situation?
Well, Paul, the Roger Stone situation, man, it was a mess. The guy was set up. He was nothing but a pawn for these people. The judge on his trial, you know, she's involved.
Amy Berman Jackson is her name. She happens to be a Democrat. I looked into her background. She was an Obama appointee. Go ahead.
Okay, an Obama appointee. One of the head jurors was tainted. She was an activist against Trump.
The jury foreman.
That's right. I mean, it's a setup. I mean, and then you see Adam Schiff already. Oh, you know, if Trump pardons him, we're going to get him for corruption again. And, well, it's a mess. First of all, I think they're going to have a retrial with Roger Stone.
Uh-huh. In other words, because of the jury foreman and the...
No, of course. Okay. Come on, it's a setup. People see that. And you know what? Why is he being convicted of what he did when you still got Hillary running free, James Comey, Andrew McCabe? Come on, man. I'm almost beginning to believe that...
Well, there's a very logical answer, and you don't understand. He's a Republican. And they're Democrats. That's the answer.
You know, but why is it it's always the Republicans? What's going on here, Paul? You know, I'm even beginning to believe Mr. Barr might be part of the deep state.
You know,
because this has been going on for a year, and he hasn't come up with nothing.
Yeah, why isn't William Barr? Where's Durham? Durham's report. Now, Durham is the guy that has the opportunity to go outside of people working currently for the government, you know, those that have gotten out of government, and he can pull them back in. He can indict them. You know, he can grab Hillary Clinton's, even though she's no longer directly connected. Yeah.
And Paul, to me, this
so what's going on with him?
This is what I'm saying. I think you're going to see Trump. He's starting his stuff. I think he's going to get rid of him, to be honest with you.
No kidding. Are you saying he's going to get rid of William Barr?
I think he might get rid of William Barr.
I think that might be a bad mistake. A bad mistake.
Well, then he's got to start all over again with all this baloney.
I think he wants to keep Barr. Now, Barr is threatening to leave. I think there's a bigger chance, my friend, that they would that Barr would resign rather than Trump firing him.
Well, I think Trump is trying to make him resign.
You're kidding.
No.
Didn't Trump acquiesce when Barr said the tweeting was making him very upset and that he was considering, resigning? He threw a grenade. It rolled past Trump with that comment.
Trump said
he agreed with him. Remember? Yeah, Trump said he agreed with him.
I remember he said that, but we're going to see what goes on, Paul, because
very interesting.
There's so much going on. And now, all of a sudden, let's face the facts. The Democrats know they do not stand a chance against Trump, period.
Well, what about Bloomberg?
His box isn't high enough, Paul. I mean, look at the debates the other night. It was better than Saturday Night Live.
It was.
I mean, I don't watch Saturday Night Live no more.
Oh, it's terrible now, in my opinion.
It used to be really good, and this was better than the old episodes, believe me.
Yeah, it was a great SmackDown, and I have always enjoyed a good wrestling match. In fact, the next time they do it, can they come out in wrestling tights? First of all, I would like to see what they all look like in wrestling tights, and I think it would be great. I think they should just be all in a ring. Have a microphone in the center. You know how it used to hang down in boxing matches right from the center?
There you go.
You know, and the referee would pull the thing down to talk before the fight.
They know they don't stand a chance for anything. Now you got our intelligence. Oh, the Russians, they're going to meddle in the election. I think the intelligence is part of the deep state, Paul.
Yeah. And it's interesting, the New York Times comes out with this. You know, as Trump is having perhaps his two of his best weeks since he was president. His approval numbers are now at the highest they've ever been. And at the same time in his presidency, Obama's approval numbers were lower. Not by a lot, but they were lower.
Obama was 46% and Trump is 49%. Trump is way over 50. I believe he's about 54%, Paul.
Yeah. No, he's doing well. There's no question about it. And
listen, it was 40,000 people last night. 18,000 or something inside, and how many outside? They're freezing in Colorado, and they're sitting there standing outside.
We're talking with the Master Barber, Andrew. And if you go to Andrew's Master Barbershop, guys, you're going to get a good dose of politics, but secondly, you're going to get the best haircut you can get in Tampa Bay. Take it from me. I've been to many over the years. He's the best.
But anyway, I think they're playing a chess game, Paul. And they're trying to start this Russian collusion stuff how many months before the election?
Yeah.
And it's like you said, why would Trump or why would Putin even want Trump in there? He's the one destroying Russia.
Yeah, why wouldn't he want to have Bernie Sanders as his buddy?
Who he'd want in there? They could push him around like a puppet.
If anything, he would want to go out now and badmouth Trump because Sanders has a good chance of becoming. In fact, I'm going to ask you a question about that. Do you think Sanders will be the Democratic presidential nominee?
I'll tell you what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, it's one of them.
Now, I believe that they're going to screw Bernie again. They don't want Bernie. They're going to screw Bernie again. Now, you got to realize he's got double-digit leads over everybody else there, right?
Right.
Now, he has his followers, and you got these young millennials. They are the most vengeful, spiteful little suckers you ever met in your life.
Oh, you like them.
They screwed Bernie over once, and they love Bernie. Now, if they screw him over twice, what do you think these little vengeful things are going to do?
Well, who are they going to go to?
You think they're going to vote for the nominee that they, you know, made Bernie get screwed out of? That's not going to happen. You know what they're going to do?
What?
How can we get even with these Democrats? We're tired of them. They're going to vote for Trump or they're not going to show up at all.
That's a very interesting take. So millennials are either going to vote for Trump or not show up.
That's right. Because, so, now listen, they're screwing over their person.
Okay.
What would you do? Well, especially if you're a vengeful little person like they are.
Well, I am a vengeful little person. I always get my way eventually. Yeah, you have to wait for the right moment, though.
That's what I foresee. And, you know, you put Bernie. And if they do give it to Bernie Sanders, okay, Trump's going to win 48 of the 50 states.
You know, I was wondering about that. I was thinking to myself, the way things are going in California and the way things are going in other states where they have the homeless situation, they're going bankrupt, you know, states like Illinois.
Well, they're keeping the needle companies in very, very busy.
I'm beginning to think that people are going to say, you know, enough is enough here. It's really starting to, you know, it's starting to look really bad in every major city in California.
Let me tell you something. Trump won the election with 64 million people in 2016. I believe that Trump this time will do 100 million.
100 million?
Yeah. I mean, there's about 300 million people in the country.
I think a goodly number of African Americans who realize that vouchers work, who realize their working you know, their unemployment numbers are terrific, are finally going to say, you know, I've been stuck in a Democratic metro area for my entire life, and what have I got from them?
Well, and you now see a lot of black celebrities backing him, Paul.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is, I think more and more conservative African Americans are out there now, and they see some of the good things. I mean, especially to me, it would be the voucher program. Why wouldn't you want to send your child to the school of your choice with a voucher rather than stick them in the local public school where they're not getting any kind of an education? They're probably getting into more trouble than they would at home.
The only thing wrong with the public schools, all they're teaching their kids is everything anti-American. That's one problem I have with the public schools.
That's another thing. Yeah.
I mean, you got nothing but socialist teachers brainwashing these kids from the beginning, and you know, the core education had a lot to do with their brainwashing too, I believe.
Okay, now I got to ask you though. You don't think Bernie's going to make it because the fix will be in? So who do you think they're going to? Who are they going to crown? And they're going, of course, they're going to have their convention in Milwaukee, of all places. Do you think they're going to go to Milwaukee without having anybody with enough delegates?
You know, Paul, I don't know. They're saying that, you know, they're saying that Bernie can have more than enough delegates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, from what I'm understanding, but
if he gets more than 50%, they can't do anything. He's got the delegates.
He's got the delegates.
But what if he
doesn't? Something will have to come up. Something will happen. Believe me, something will happen.
I know what will happen. I know.
Hillary.
No, he'll have a heart attack and drop over because he's too he's too old. How is he going to survive his 4 years in office? Can you imagine?
I thought they were going to have heart attacks on the stage the other night.
Yeah,
Paul.
They still might. If you think about it, with the median age is about 94 up there now, right?
Oh, you know, not only were the people that on stage, I believe, were goofy, the people asking their questions.
They were all throwing lemon pies at each other on the stage. There wasn't any time.
The only thing they talked about was get rid of Trump, okay, and free health care.
Big Ed watched the entire debate. Ed?
I did too. Start to finish.
I couldn't shut it off.
It seems to me, and I thought it was great theater too, it was almost like you wound those guys up and you let them go and they just started insulting each other.
So my favorite moment, I don't know which one you guys are, but when Elizabeth Warren went after Bloomberg about how many lawsuits he's had against of women, and she said, "How many?" And he
How many?
And
he must have been the one I told the joke to. He said,
and then she said,
"He told a bad joke."
We want to know the women's side of the story. Will you allow them to tell their story? And he just couldn't get a word out. I just at that point I said, "Man, that's almost a Jeb Bush moment of, please clap."
He melted into a puddle.
And then you just brought up Bernie Sanders and his health records about releasing those, and he said, "I did 4 years ago." Well, how about now? I did 4 years ago. How about now? I did four years ago.
Well, you know why he doesn't want to release his medical records? Because the doctor says on his medical records, Bernie Sanders should have been dead 4 years ago.
He can't even he can't even walk past a microwave, for crying out loud.
Well, I'm telling you, we're it's going to be a landslide.
Now, listen. Listen, this is... We're taking pot shots at these poor people. We do not want to do this. Let's have some decorum.
Oh, come on. They just have a sign on them saying, hit me here.
Yeah, they do.
They have nothing. They have nobody. I think you're going to see the Republicans take the House. They're going to keep the Senate and keep the presidency.
So what happens to dear Nancy Pelosi? I'm worried about her welfare.
Well, I guess she got free liquor vouchers to a few bars in San Francisco.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. You are a prize, Andrew. You really are. You bring such energy.
Paul, I say it like it is.
You do.
And you know, you come into my shop, you'll see the people think just what I'm saying.
Oh, I know. Absolutely. And by the way, he has a life-size stand-up poster of Donald Trump.
You know what I'm trying to do, Paul, now?
What?
I've had people that walked into my shop and they saw Trump's thing. Oh, I can't go in there. I got to do that. You know, it's fine. I don't care. But I'm trying to start a thing now where the people that are Trump supporters will promote people that, you know, that are in business to promote Trump.
Okay.
So I'm trying to get that going. And I think you're going to see.
Wow.
This is happening with a lot of businesses. And more people like me are getting less afraid to say that they stand for Trump.
Yeah.
You know?
No, you have a lot of integrity that way because I know you really believe in it. However, I think you should get a life size poster of Michael Bloomberg in there on the other side. So, you know, we'd have a little balance. What's wrong with that?
Well, I got plenty of room for it because he don't take up much room.
I knew you would say something
you
like
know,
that.
You'd have to move the barber chair so you could see him.
Hey, we ought to take this act on the road. I don't know if anybody else would laugh, but we're laughing.
Oh, everybody in my shop would, I can tell you that.
Okay. Andrew, thank you so much, my friend, and we will be talking with you again next week about all of this.
All right, Paul, you take it easy, buddy.
All right, there he goes. Andrew the Master Barber. And I'm not kidding. You'd have a great haircut, and you'd have a great time going to his barber shop. Absolutely right. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, John Bolton says that his impeachment testimony would have made no difference at all in the trial.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back for the final segment on a Friday, a cool Friday in Tampa Bay. Freedom Works, delighted to have you with us. And front page of the Tampa Bay Times, Florida passes abortion bill. The Florida House has passed a bill that would require minors seeking abortions to obtain parental consent. And Ron DeSantis will sign it when it gets to his desk. Big, big story. Big story here in Florida, protecting the unborn as much as we can, right? All right. Well, John Bolton, the former national security advisor, admitted yesterday that his testimony in Trump's impeachment trial would have had no impact on the outcome. Quote, "People can argue about what I should have said and what I should have done." He said, "I'll bet you a dollar right here and now my testimony would have made no difference to the ultimate outcome." So there's John Bolton saying that. He says, "I sleep at night because I have followed my conscience." Of course, he's also followed his book prophets, because he wants to try to tell you that he's got some little secrets that you will only find out about if you buy his book. And in a way, you can't blame him. Look, they do that all the time, don't they? These guys that make a name for themselves in Washington become somewhat of a celebrity, right? Get on TV as much as they can. You know, one time, I think I said this before, but one time when Vice President George Bush came to the town I was working in, I saw him up close, you know, live. And did you know, Ed, that his face was smeared with pancake makeup? And in the sun, it looked so bad, you know. But under those lights underneath, you know, he was in a church doing something or other, and they had cameras. Mm-hmm. You know, it looked fine. But, I mean, they wear makeup, pancake makeup all the time, these
guys.
Yeah.
It's
like, of course, they're celebrities. You know?
Makeup was a lot different back then. I mean, I know a lot of people that, you know, in the media that are on TV for the news and stuff. And ever since we went to HD, makeup has really changed because it just shows everything.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah.
It used to look more like whitish makeup, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now it's more, I call it Trump orange. Am I right to call it Trump orange? Doesn't Donald Trump have a little orangish peak to his face?
He's a tanning bed freak, I think.
Okay. I just thought that he takes...
Well, you ever seen his eyes? You can see where he puts
things on there. Yeah. You're right about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's not using an orange crayon, you don't think?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So, anyway, Bolton remained silent, and he was not going to say anything unless they brought him up and forced him to say something. All in that desperation to somehow get Donald Trump. There must have been something... Must have been something he said to John Bolton. And we got to find out about it. Let's make it really look good, you know. But they didn't get him. And so Bolton's new book, and Ed, I want you to go buy it, The Room Where It Happened, a White House memoir. I love the title. The Room Where It Happened. Sounds like something immoral, doesn't it? It's slated to be released next month. And it's supposedly expected to reveal Bolton might have said he'd been forced to testify, blah, 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 blah. So, anyway, there you go.
To me, does it seem like that impeachment stuff was like a year ago?
It does, doesn't it?
It started
over a year ago.
It went away as fast as it started.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it did, didn't it?
But nobody's talking about it. You know, they're not talking about how much money they lost.
Where's our buddy Adam Schiff? I haven't seen him recently.
Yeah.
By the way, I got to bring this up. You know, we've mentioned, we on our show have mentioned that the whistleblower's name is Eric Sciaramella. Did you know that Eric Sciaramella is either dating or was dating Adam Schiff's daughter?
Oh,
there's a picture. There's a picture of Adam Schiff, his daughter, and Eric Sciaramella. What are the three of them doing together in a picture? They're smiling, and his daughter and Sciaramella are standing there, very lovey-dovey looking like...
Didn't Adam Schiff say he never met the whistleblower before? That's when you go in and hold up a photo. Well, who's this?
This is the hypocrisy.
Yeah, the same thing that he's...
The entire thing.
He's remaining.
The guy is absolutely a staunch anti-Trump hater, and he's in bed, literally, probably. Well, I shouldn't say that. With Adam Schiff's daughter, et cetera, you know.
He was remaining anonymous all through the beginning of this.
And Adam didn't know who he was.
And the other
Adam
side
is the dumbest guy in Washington.
The other side of Schiff's mouth, he said, well, he's anonymous because he's receiving death threats. How can an anonymous person receive death threats if you don't know who he is?
I know. Crazy, crazy world we live in, especially in Washington. All right, Ed, get over to those drums. We have a good one. This is the top 10 wealthiest songwriters of all time. Got it from Finance 101. And when we get to number one, Ed, I want to see if you have any idea. Okay. Here we go, number 10.
Oh, wait a minute. That's the wrong one.
That's all right.
Good.
All right. Number 10 is Madonna.
Okay.
$590 million. That's pretty good.
It's hard to decipher who's singers and who's songwriters, but some are both, some are only one.
Well, she apparently writes some of these songs. Okay. Didn't she write a lot of that Like a Virgin stuff?
Yeah, I think she was, yeah.
And Material Girl. Yeah. You got to give her credit.
Yeah.
And all those songs. She's making a lot of money. Number 9, Bono. Is he from U2?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. $700 million. Huh? I wouldn't have known that. Very interesting. Number 8, Dr. Dre.
Dre
to you, Dre to me.
Dr. Dre.
Dre.
Okay.
I don't know. You're right. Dr. Dre. Whatever his name is, he's worth $770 million. All right. Number 7, John Lennon. $800 million. John Lennon died in 1980, and look at all the money it's still making, right? All those songs.
They say you make more money when you pass.
There's truth to that. Yeah. Now, we've got two, so we say number 5, Sean Combs. Sean, is it Puffy or?
Yeah.
Combs and Michael Jackson, speaking about in the hereafter, both $825 million. Mm. Wow. All right, so that brings us to number 4. Do you remember Herb Alpert?
Yeah, Rise. That was a great song.
He was a great songwriter.
Yeah.
$870 million. Shocking. Is he still alive? I think he might be.
I don't know.
Okay. Number 3. Jay-Z. Bunch of rappers here. $900 million. $900 million? Wow. Mm-hmm. All right. Ed, we have a tie, and so there are two number ones here, okay?
Okay.
I want to see if you know either one. All right, so do you know either or both of them, or you go ahead?
I'm going to say one of them might be Quincy Jones.
Okay.
I don't know who the other
That's
one would
guess.
Be. I don't know who the other one would be.
No? Okay. Yeah. Why don't you roll the final drum? Paul McCartney.
Okay.
And Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yep.
Yes. Mm. And they're both worth $1.2 billion. That's more than I make in 2 years. Just a little bit about Andrew Lloyd Webber, because most people probably don't remember him as much. Paul McCartney, everybody knows.
Right.
Besides being one of the wealthiest songwriters, Webber is also one of only 15 people who have won an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony.
Mm.
And he always loved music, even as a kid. He originally set music to the book, Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats.
Hmm.
More than you ever wanted to know about him. Anyway, there you go. Thank you so very much for being with us on Freedom Works. We will be back on Monday. Have a great weekend. Drive carefully. And bye for now.
I'm your